Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It is a Tuesday. I am well rested, live in sunny Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and right here on FS1. Strangely packed show today. Joy Taylor is joining me. What a night's sleep I had. Wife's out of town, slept 9 hours. I mean, I am bouncing off the walls today.
What does that say about your like lifestyle when you're excited about a good night's sleep? Because I'm with you. When I sleep through the night, no crazy dreams. Just like wake up rested. It's a wonderful feeling.
Early dinner, one cocktail, little TV, Seacrest out.
Isn't it funny when you were like a teenager, like early 20s?
Want to stay up all night.
This thought like never even occurred to you how much a good night's sleep meant to you.
So I want to start our show today with something that's interesting. I'm not into like, what is my brand? I don't know. People ask, you know, everybody that wants to have a brand these days. Everybody's like a pro wrestler. I think I'm an opinionated guy. I think I'm a pretty moderate guy. I can go either way political. Doesn't really matter to me. I'm fairly independent. I think I am an independent voter. And I think I'm reasonably bright. I think sometimes I get off on finding stuff before other people do. I think it's cool that 3 and 4 years ago I was like, Russell Wilson is a right-handed Steve Young. No. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear his defense. I don't want to hear about Richard Sherman. I don't want to hear about Marshawn Lynch. I don't want to hear about Pete Carroll. This is it. I get off on finding Andrew Luck as a freshman at Stanford and saying that is the greatest quarterback prospect since John Elway. That's my thing. I'm probably like somebody, if you were like a talent scout for music and you found a garage band before everybody else, that excites you. That's what I like to do. So about 6 years ago, 6 to 7, John Goulet is a witness. I wasn't working with Joy yet. About 6, 7 years ago, I started saying Aaron Rodgers pisses people off. Like, watch the body language. He does not get along with people. Nobody calls out anybody publicly anymore. Everything's anonymous sources. With Aaron, guys will go out and take shots at him. Like, publicly. And I've always said this. If a couple argues at a party, what is the drive home like? It's always way worse behind closed doors than publicly. You were hearing dad, and you were hearing teammates, and, you know, cheesehead guy gets worked up. So Pro Football Focus came out. They did a top 50 players in the NFL. They didn't have Aaron Rodgers in it. I do. I think Aaron Rodgers is one of my top 20 players in the NFL. They didn't have him in the top 50. Be that as it may, there was a lot of outrage about it, and people criticized the list. So PFF came out with the 10 guys who didn't make the top 50 and why. Here's what they said about Aaron Rodgers. He's become even more evidently part of the problem in Green Bay. And his own team spent the offseason laying plans to minimize his role this year and replace him beyond that. He finished last year's regular season as the number 9 ranked quarterback in the league and was 17th. From week 8. And here's my thing. Watch him play. It's not a physical problem. His release is the second best I've seen in NFL history to Dan Marino. It's still unbelievable. His release doesn't even look like anybody else. It's like a seed that pops out of his hand. He's got the second best release in the history of the league. He's got great feet. Aaron Smart moves around well. That's not a problem. His arm strength, absurd. His accuracy, damn good. It's a personality problem. Two examples. Even when he does something charitable and thoughtful and mindful, people call him out publicly. Martellus Bennett this weekend. So Aaron Rodgers goes out with an Instagram picture. I thought it was very thoughtful. And he's saying, listen, man. And Aaron, even on the Kaepernick stuff, was always ahead of the curve. He was like, listen, man, these guys are fighting for racial equality. Martellus Bennett, a tight end, a retired tight end that played with him. And Martellus has played with a lot of different quarterbacks. Took a shot at him. He said, doesn't sound like an ally to me. Sounds like a spectator. So you miss me with that BS. Show me one. I don't want to see all these white saviors. It's not true. I was in Green Bay. So he took a shot at Aaron Rodgers being mindful and thoughtful. They went out publicly. Well, call it. It's just Martellus Bennett. 2 years ago, Aaron did a nice thing. He gave $1 million to the people fighting wildfires in Northern California. An incredibly gracious act. His brother came out and took a shot at him publicly. He said, yeah, but you won't call mom and see how she's doing. It just feels like an act. When he does nice stuff, people take shots at him. Tom Brady, 20 years, not a shot. So it's not a physical problem with Aaron. It's a mental thing. Is he condescending? Is he snarky? Is he difficult? Whatever it is, we don't even have a comparison in my lifetime to a quarterback that's great. People have banged on Russell Wilson. They don't do it publicly. People sometimes may not get along with Peyton Manning because he's pretty bold, right? They don't do it publicly. Not much, if I recall. I mean, am I nuts here? Two things to think about. Number one, they're doing it publicly. Nobody wants to be quoted criticizing anybody. They don't want the blowback. And secondly, is that this is what gets out. You know, this is just what's getting out. What is it like behind closed doors? So the whole Aaron Rodgers thing, this is one of these things, and I'm not trying to be right. It's a get-it-right thing. 6-7 years ago, I said there's something about his personality that just doesn't click with people. And so a story came out this morning that Green Bay's general manager says, we expect Aaron to be here for quite a while. Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining. Stop. You did not give up a first and a fourth round pick to get Jordan Love to sit for 4 years. It's not an Aaron physical thing. Watch him play. Release, arm, accuracy, speed, movement, A+, 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 A+. There is something in the personality DNA here that doesn't work. And even when he does gracious, thoughtful, smart, mindful, charitable things, he gets slammed like nobody in the league. I'm not making this up. I'm not making it up. Once again, somebody comes out publicly. Find quarterbacks who can be goofy. I mean, for all the Baker Mayfield stuff, none of his teammates whack him. I mean, he had like a running back and him had a little skirmish. I think it's one of these things. I spotted it 7 years ago, and it continues to be a huge issue. All right, let me segue to this quickly. So the NFL, Roger Goodell came out this weekend and said, I'm with the players. Okay, I'm splitting revenue. These are my guys. I'm with the players. And the story is now coming out. There will be protests allowed, whatever those look like. You know, kneeling, whatever. I don't know. Whatever they look like. But and I think those tend to bother conservatives more. Conservatives tend to be more traditionalist, more into the status quo. But one of the things I have struggled with, and I'm talking now as a consumer, as somebody who watches TV and sports and radio like you do. I do what you do when I go home. I listen to podcasts. I read, social media. The thing I have struggled with, and I've tried to avoid over the last 5 years, because I think it's gotten far worse, is that who do I trust? Who isn't trying to angle me or agenda me? Like, who's giving me the straight skinny? A lot of people I even like, I feel like they're tweaking their numbers, tweaking the graph, tweaking the data, you know, to win the argument. And that's from people I follow and like. Very few people. And what happens now is people go home and they turn to the people they agree with. Affirmation over information. So the conservatives go to this channel, the liberals go to this channel. And so once people get embedded into their camps, they have no interest changing, and they basically hear what they want to hear. And I'm not blaming either side. They're both equally guilty. But I'm going to make a prediction. I'm going to make a prediction right now that the NFL ratings this year will be slightly down, not much. And watch the anti-Kaepernick crowd go, like, told you, protests are... That's not going to be it. I'm going to be totally honest with you. And that's become a commodity. We have a presidential election in November with the most polarizing president of my life, like him or not. You don't think that's going to steal away some viewers? Of course it is. Historically, the NFL comes down in election years. Secondly, because of a pandemic, we're going to have hockey playoffs, baseball playoffs, NBA playoffs, the Masters, the U.S. Open, going up against the NFL in October, November, December. So when the ratings, and I think it'll be gradual, because I think the NFL's never been better, never been more exciting, never been more bet on, never been better on TV, never been better run, never been more nimble, never been more pro player as of this weekend. I think the league is on fire. It's the best league in the country. It's the best it's ever been. But this year, because of a polarizing presidential election, and for the only time ever, all the Big Four playoffs went right in October and November, the ratings will be slightly, and I mean slightly down, 1%, 2%. No other league could handle this. And watch media members rush to, this is all about the protests. No, it's not. It's about our election, and it's going to be about something due to a pandemic. I'll be honest with you. Giannis Lakers game six of the NBA Finals or a regular season NFL game, I'm probably going NBA. If LeBron can win another championship with a third team, and that's on television, and it's Titans-Colts, I'm going to go NBA. Yankees-Dodgers. This is supposed to be one of the great Yankee teams in a long time. Yankees-Dodgers, game six, deciding game. Chargers-Raiders. Probably going baseball. Tiger Woods in contention, Masters U.S. Open Sunday at 4 o'clock. Tiger Woods is the Sopranos. He's like he's a magnet for my eyes when he's in a major. So just watch the media reaction to a slight NFL ratings erosion. I think it'll be slight because I think the league's on fire, but there's never been a presidential election this intense, and there's never been a time in our lives where in October and November, I could literally watch the NBA Finals, the World Series, the U.S. Open, I've got the Masters, I've got the NFL. It's a crowded calendar like we've never seen before.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So I can think you're underpaid, dramatically underpaid, and there's nothing I can do about it. That can happen in a lot of industries. The NFL's got a salary cap. Dalvin Cook is underpaid at running back for the Minnesota Vikings. He's a sensational player. Sensational player. He had 1,600 yards last year in 13 games, 14 touchdowns. He's terrific. He had a shoulder surgery in high school that's a little bit of an enigma. I think he still battles it. Was never seriously hurt in college. Had an ACL in the NFL, but injuries don't concern me with him. I think he's great. And Kirk Cousins is making $150 million over the next 5 years, and he's making $1 million a year. And that's it. This, though, is the problem. His backup, Alexander Mattison, averages 4.6 yards a carry. Dalvin Cook averages 4.5. And this is exactly what the Chargers got into with Melvin Gordon, is that the system they ran with their offensive line, there was not a gap between Gordon and the backups. And you just can't pay in a salary cap league big money when there's not a gap in talent or performance or production. And so they let Melvin Gordon, a guy they liked, a guy they drafted, a guy they were a fan of, they let him go. And I talked to the general manager. They loved Melvin Gordon. But there is a movement in the NFL called don't give a running back a second contract. And I'll let you be the GM. I want you to think about all the rules. If you were a general manager and there are 10 guys on your franchise that you have to put in the top like 7 to 8 of salaries, this is my list. Quarterback is one. Nobody would dispute it. I think in the NFL, nobody would dispute number two, an elite pass rusher. I believe the reason Lamar Jackson is going to last for 10 years is left tackle Ronnie Stanley. That would be my number three pick. Number four, an Aaron Donald, Fletcher Jokes, interior defensive lineman who changes the way you have to block your running game. Number five, what do the Patriots pay for always? Cornerback, a great shutdown corner. Number six, a position that, frankly, matters more today. Wide receiver. You can't touch them. You can't grab them. They can go over the middle. You can't hit them upstairs. Wide receiver changes games. Number seven, I'd go Mike linebacker, middle linebacker. Last 20 years, name the 20 best defenses. Virtually 17 of 20 have a great interior captain defensively that calls the shots. I would go number eight, tight end. That's crazy. Five of the last six Super Bowl teams have had the best tight end in the game. It is the one athlete you can't cover. He's too big for secondary. He's too fast for linebackers. Number nine, I'd go center. I know it sounds crazy, but he's the brains of your offensive line. He calls all the audibles. Do you care about your quarterback? And then you get to number 10, and we can make a bunch of arguments, and I tend to be an offensive line guy, I'd go right tackle. You can make an argument for running back, whip linebacker. You can make an argument for a slot receiver or a safety like Jamal Adams. I get all of those. I'm an offensive line guy. I think this league's real simple. Find a superstar quarterback, protect him, and then find a guy that gets theirs. That's the league to me. So I can like Dalvin Cook. I can think he's wildly underappreciated. I can like everything about him, and I can't pay him. I can't pay him. What am I going to do? Alexander Mattison averages more yards per carry. What do you do? So I think Dalvin Cook's in one of those positions, and it doesn't matter if it's media, if it's law, if it's medicine, if it's landscaping, if it's car dealerships. There are positions in industries that are hard to pay the big bucks to. You just can't make it work, and the NFL's got a salary cap league. I love Dalvin Cook. I think he's great. I'm not sure I can pay him.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
So Pro Football Focus, sometimes love them, sometimes drive me nuts. They had a top 50 player list last week. It didn't have Aaron Rodgers in it, didn't have Carson Wentz in it. But yesterday they came out and said, okay, here's the 10 guys that almost made it, and here's why they didn't. They didn't even have Carson Wentz in that. So he's not one of their top 60 players. Sometimes I think with Carson Wentz, I'm misspelling his name when I Google him. Like, I always with quarterbacks take out the rookie year. Don't count the rookie year. Start with the second year. In the last 3 years, 81 touchdowns, 21 picks. That's a 4-to-1 ratio. 64.5% completion percentage, passer rating at 98. And in one of those years, he was throwing to deck chairs and lawn furniture. What is, and I said this, I take pride in spotting quarterback talent early. I did it with Russell Wilson 3 and 4 years ago. I said, folks, stop it. It's not the Seahawks defense. It's not Pete Carroll. It's not Marshawn Lynch. Russell Wilson is the secret sauce to this near dynasty. I don't get the Carson Wentz pushback. Well, he's been hurt. He's missed 8 regular season games in 4 seasons. Not that hurt. Is it because he played in a college we didn't watch on TV? Is it because Nick Foles won and we think, well, if Nick Foles could win, anybody could win with your talent? He is the player in the league now. Because I think people have come around. I think they eventually came around on Andrew Luck. I think they've come around on Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson now has not just me, but dozens of backers. Wentz is the new Russell Wilson. He's good. Stop it. He's the only guy in this league that you watch Patrick Mahomes and you can see Wentz. Arm, angles, talent, mobility, size, moves. Gets banged up a little bit because they move around a lot. He's it. Nobody else in this league looks like Mahomes. Wentz kind of looks like him. So I think that's where we're at. And I've said this before. I saw ESPN had a thing yesterday where they took this year's draft order and they went 4 rounds. If you could draft any current player in the league. And they had Carson Wentz 11th behind Nick Bosa. So you'd start a franchise with Nick Bosa, Ronnie Stanley, Drew Brees, and Dak before Carson Wentz. I don't even understand it. You'd start it with a defensive end, a 40-year-old quarterback, an offensive tackle, a defensive tackle. I don't understand it. I don't. If you're asking me, I'm not going to do a quarterback list. If you're asking me today, every quarterback on the planet, the three I would pick to start my franchise in this order, Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Wentz, you can argue 4 through 20. That's who I'm starting. Those are my guys. Mahomes 1, Russell 2, Wentz 3. Those are my guys. Luck would probably be 3, Andrew, if he didn't, you know, get beat up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So Gerald McCoy was, I always love this. So he played at Oklahoma. He was a 2-time All-American at Oklahoma. So he had to be a Cowboy fan, right? And so he goes to Tampa Bay. He's a Pro Bowler multiple times. He's been a 6-time Pro Bowler. He's going to get Hall of Fame votes. And then the Cowboys, as his career, now he's in his 30s, the Cowboys come and say, we got a defensive tackle issue, and they pay him a bunch of money, and he's going to the Dallas Cowboys. And I always think to myself, you know, I grew up in Seattle. What would it be like if you got to play literally for the team you were a fan of? I always think that's remarkable because it happens, you know, LeBron's rare. I grow up in Akron. I get drafted by Cleveland. You know, Dwayne Wade ended up in Miami. He grew up in Chicago. He's probably a Bulls fan. So Gerald McCoy is now joining us via the Coward Global Satellite Network. So, I mean, my first question is, this is rare. You grow up, I imagine you're a Cowboy. Yeah, so you are a Cowboy fan, right?
I am. So here's what happened. So I start in Oklahoma. It's very rare that you either don't know somebody who's a diehard Cowboy fan or they are a diehard Cowboys fan. And we didn't have a professional team. Our professional team was the University of Oklahoma. And so you love the Cowboys growing up. My favorite player before Warren Sapp actually was Leon Lett. And I wore number 78 in Little League. And then once I developed a love for Warren Sapp, I started loving the Bucks. So I actually was blessed enough. I grew up initially a Cowboys fan, grew into a love for the Bucks. I got drafted by the Bucks, and I'm going to end my career with the Cowboys. That doesn't happen often, and it is extremely rare, and I couldn't even imagine that something like this would happen.
Well, it's also an organization, Gerald. You will be on television every week, and your game will be the highest rated every week. So from my takeaway, the advantage to playing in Dallas is that you probably, because you have a personality, you're going to make marketing deals. And I'm sure the Cowboys weren't the only team that wanted you. Did you consider that going in, that I'm on television every week? This is good business.
Absolutely. So here's my, I got it. Can I answer that with a few questions?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Who was one of the top, if not the top, analysts on Fox?
Troy Aikman.
Okay. Who took over for John Gruden after he left Monday Night Football?
Jason Witten, Cowboy.
Okay. Who is going to be the highest paid analyst next year?
Tony Romo.
All right. I'll leave it there. So if you don't think that being a Cowboy has its advantages and its benefits, yeah, it does. And so here's a problem that I have with people that don't listen. So I said I played in 4 primetime games my entire career, excluding Thursday Night Football, which everybody gets, okay? Pretty much everybody gets a Thursday night, or you just don't get one. But everybody gets Thursday night games. Right. So I don't count those because everybody gets them. Everybody doesn't get a Sunday night. Everybody doesn't get a Monday night. I've played in 4. The Bucks, since I've been on the Bucks, have been a part of, I'd say, 8 or 9. I was injured when we played the Cowboys on Saturday night in 2011. I was injured in 2016, week 5, we played the Carolina Panthers. And I was injured in 2017, like week 15, we played Atlanta. So I didn't play in those games. So people who know my career better than me, I need you to stop this. I played in 4 primetime games, excluding Thursday night. So playing for the Dallas Cowboys and getting an opportunity to play in 5 this year alone is exciting for me. You know, and like I said, growing up a Cowboys fan, you watch the Cowboys on Thanksgiving.
Right.
One of the first things my dad and I discussed is, he said, son, do you realize you can be playing on Thanksgiving? I said, God willing, I'm healthy. Yes, I will be.
Well, you know, it's interesting because Jerry Jones has always been pro player. He'll pay players.
Absolutely.
Dak will eventually get his money, either franchise tag or contract. Mm-hmm. He'll get his money. But did you negotiate with Jerry? Did you talk to Jerry? And I'd like to know what that discussion was like, because he's a different cat.
No, I actually didn't. You know, I let my agent do all the talking. I actually spoke with Jerry the first time. It was the night of the draft or the night before the draft. I believe it was the night of the draft. And, you know, I've spoken with him before at the Pro Bowl, and I've got to meet him and talk to him before. And he is very interesting. And he's cool. He's cool, though. You know, every time I've been around him, he's been cool. We've always been cordial, had great conversation. And I'm excited, man. I'm excited.
You know, I got a couple other questions I want to ask you. I want to go to a more serious question. Mm-hmm. You know, I was saying this the other day, Gerald, that if we're going to ask for people to grow, and we should,
right,
then it's hard to ask for perfection with growth. People are going to make mistakes. Drew Brees was tone deaf.
Absolutely.
His resume showed he's a good cat. Then he was tone deaf. And so I think to myself, well, if we're going to ask people, you didn't become great out of the womb. You made mistakes, you missed assignments, and then you became a great player.
Right.
So I would think players would go, like, I'll forgive him. But I don't know because I'm not in the locker room. Will there be players, potentially, Gerald, they're like, listen, man, you're not living my life. You showed insensitivity. I can't be behind you on this. I'll play with you, but we're out. Do you think there'll be a group like that in the Saints locker room?
Yeah, absolutely. So here's the thing. It doesn't matter how much we scream, yell, protest, Black Lives Matter. Some people are just going to miss it. Some people are just going to miss it. I'm not saying that's Drew, but my reason for saying that is some people in the locker room are going to be stone cold. Like, hey, listen, I don't care if you did apologize. I don't care what you do from now on. You said it initially. That's what you believe. That's who you are. I'm not that guy. Okay. I actually grew up under Drew Brees. Drew has mentored me since I was a rookie in the NFL. I know what type of person he is. Okay. Drew is a great guy. He's extremely great. His family's great. Some of the nicest people I've ever been around. One of the most selfless people I've ever been around. I was in the same division with this guy, and he's mentoring me every offseason. Gee, you need to work on this. You need to try this. You help with this. This is going to work. This is how you become great. This is how you do this. This is how you do that. In the same division, I have to chase this guy around two times a year, and he's helping me nonstop. He's been through all the struggles in New Orleans. He's been out in the streets. He's put his money where his mouth is. I think in this particular situation, he just made a mistake. I believe he got set up with a question, and he answered that question. And in doing so, I believe he missed exactly what was going on. But sometimes you have to have things brought to your attention. I do that all the time. My wife would say, hey, baby, you didn't think about this when you answered that. And I'm like, oh, shoot, I didn't. Sometimes if you don't live in the shoes of a Black man, you don't know. If you've never had to have that conversation of, okay, if you see those police lights come on, this is what needs to happen. You don't know. And I truly believe that the question he was asked, he just answered the question. He focused on this is what needs to be said. This is how I feel. Okay. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. But once he realized, hey, Drew, that's not where we're at right now. Where we're at right now is we're focused on what's not happening for the Black man. What is happening wrong for the Black man. And once he realized that, Drew is not insensitive. Drew is not selfish. And he's not so stuck on it's about the flag that he's not going to say, you know what? I made a mistake. Drew has issued multiple apologies and I accept his apology. I'm so happy that he's open to hearing and wanting to learn. And it's not just Drew. A lot of people open to hearing and want to learn. And once we can get to that point, then we can start creating change. But I truly believe that there will be some people who are just, this is what he said. This is how it's going to be. This is how I see it. Now, I can play with them, but for the most part, I believe they'll be able to move past it, and we all have to grow. You know, we got to forgive and be able to maybe not forget, but just forgive and move forward and grow together.
So well put. I think I could interview you every day of the year, honestly.
Yeah.
You're really good.
I would love it. I would love it.
I got two more questions.
Okay.
One of them's about Batman, but I'll get to this one first.
Yes.
Okay, so you played in Tampa for 9 years.
Nine years.
You know the city. You know the culture.
Yes.
You know the
Absolutely.
Locker room. You know everything.
Absolutely.
Tom Brady, he comes from this rigid New England culture. Tampa's a little loose. It's a little fun. It's very young. Gerald, is it going to work? What do you think?
I don't know. I don't know. You know, I hope it does. I really do. I'll say this. Tom is not coming off his greatest year, okay? They had a phenomenal defense. Tom did not play his best year. He did not have the best supporting cast either. Like, I'm not going to let that people forget that. His supporting cast was not what it has been in the past, and I know, you know, you hear Shannon Sharp always say, this guy, if you looked at the dictionary, he, if it says do more with less, you should see Tom Brady. Yes, but that's younger Tom Brady, where he wasn't older, you know, and his arm was still strong and, you know, his body was still up to par. He's gotten older. And I think people forget Father Time is undefeated, even for Tom Brady. Muhammad Ali, Father Time kicked in. I know LeBron, I don't know what, where he came from. He's not from Earth. I don't know where he came from, but Father Time has not kicked in with him yet. But Father Time kicks in for everybody. Do I believe Tom Brady is still a winning quarterback? Absolutely. Do I believe Tom Brady can win 10 plus games? Absolutely. Is it yet to be seen? I don't know. For me, I'm a lifelong Bucks fan, okay? And until we have to play them, I'm always going to root for the Bucks. I'm just telling you that. I hope they go undefeated and then they lose to us in the playoffs. I'm going to just be honest.
Yeah.
I'm a lifelong Bucks fan. One of my best friends is Levante David. I believe he deserves all the TV time he's going to get.
Yep.
I believe he's very, very underrated. I'm excited for all my former teammates. I just want all them to get all the publicity they deserve. I believe that Tom Brady can be what they need. And I hope they win, man. I really do. I hope they – everything that happens except the Super Bowl, because that's for us.
Finally, I grew up as a kid as a Batman fan over Superman. And I don't know why it was. There was a TV show, Batman, in the 70s I watched. Robin, I thought, was useless. But I was more of a Batman guy. I think it was the cave. I think it was his toys. Mm-hmm. There was something about him that was relatable. So give me, you are a Batman fan. Am I to take that from what I see behind you and the shirt you're wearing?
Nah, I don't like Batman at all. Nope.
So what is it about Batman?
The thing I love about Batman is, one, his backstory. You know, everybody has his backstory. Somebody died and created. This is why I had to do this, this, and this. Okay. But Batman is, what he does is, he's an ordinary guy who went and got some training, trained his butt off to be who he is. And all he is the most prepared in every situation. He's the smartest in every situation. And he outworks everybody he goes against every situation. And I can relate to that. You know, I was asked on Hard Knocks, if you had to pick a superhero, who would you be? And I said Batman, because that's me. If you go look at my combine numbers, if you didn't put a name next to it and you just put the numbers down, you would never say, oh, yeah, that's Gerald McCoy's numbers. Because it's just average numbers, okay? I've never been the fastest, never been the strongest, never been the most athletic, but I've always been blessed enough to get the job done, and it's because I'm a technician. I work dangerously at my technique. I study like a son of a gun, and you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who outworks me. And if I'm the most prepared, I work the hardest, and I work to be the smartest in every situation, it's going to help me in the long run. And I believe that's who Batman has always been. And then on top of that, Batman's just dope. His suit, his cave, his gadgets, everything. Batman have a suit for everything. I was watching a Batman movie. It was a Justice League movie, animated film. And I believe it was Justice League War or War of Two Worlds, one of those. And two Earths, and they were going out to outer space, and they tried to leave Batman, and he looking like, why y'all think y'all gonna leave me? And out comes Batman in his space suit with the bat emblem on the front, and I'm like, this dude, he has a suit for everything. And Superman, he's cool. I mean, but Superman is like, he got all these powers. You know, it's either I'm stronger than you or I'm not. Okay, if this guy is super strong, okay, let's get Superman. If we got a power we can't maintain, let's get Superman. It's never like a challenge for Superman.
Right.
Batman always has a challenge. He's always got people he has to outthink. The Joker's highly into. And listen, I will argue with anybody that Batman has the best list of villains, period. The only person I think you may can argue is Spider-Man, but just the Joker alone separates him from everybody. Yeah. He's the greatest villain in history. Yeah. So I'm just saying.
No argument from me, Gerald McCoy. Can you imagine sitting down with your family for dinner? The conversations must be unbelievable. You are one.
No, it's not. I don't let anybody out-talk me about Batman or Superman or any of that. Now, we talking about other stuff? Yeah, absolutely. Because my wife is 10 times smarter than I am. So sometimes I'll be thinking my conversation is good and she say one thing and I'm like, just be quiet for me. Rest of dinner.
Joy, yeah. Joy is nodding. She's like, yeah, that's the way it should work. Joy is like, yeah.
It is. My wife, man, I'll be thinking I know something, and then she'll say something like, yeah, but did you think of this? I'm like, dang, I didn't think of it.
Yeah.
But then I always have to come up with an excuse of why I didn't think of it, but whatever.
You are welcome on this show anytime you want to come on, man.
Absolutely. Hey, you know what? Thank you so much. Listen, here's my last message to everybody. In this time where we are seeking justice for George Floyd and there's a lot of protests and a lot of different things going on, man. One message I would like to put out to people is let's keep spreading the love. Okay. I was preaching this message when COVID first hit, you know, it was, what would you say to the people? Hey, spread love, because something like this can happen out of nowhere. Look at what happened. Nobody would have thought, when Anthony Davis signed with the Lakers and we was thinking about, okay, NBA offseason, NBA free agency, and all these great signings, we were talking about, wow, this is going to be arguably the greatest season ever. That was the discussion. Fast forward a couple months, we don't even have a season. So anything can happen in life. My point of saying that is, what we need to do, man, is work on spreading more love to each other, man. Yes, Drew Brees said what he said, and it did hit hard. It hit me hard because I grew up under Drew Brees, and it hurt. But now he understands. Now he's seeing it. Now he's made a point of his to create change. He went right at the president. That's not easy to do. He did it, though. And now we need to start spreading love, man. That's not enough love in the world. You know, he made a mistake. Okay, we forgive him. Now let's start spreading love. That's the problem. That's why there's so much injustice. It's too much hate. There's no reason that it's so much hate in the world. We got to spread more love, man. Listen, are we all equal? We should be. The fact is we're not. And that's a problem. And the reason for that is because of all the hate in the world, man. We have to spread more love. I appreciate every opportunity I get. I appreciate y'all having me on the show. Whether y'all called me or didn't call me, I appreciate you for doing what you're doing, giving everything you got in your career and what you've been doing. I just appreciate everybody who does whatever they do at a high level and give everything they have, man. We just got to appreciate one another. Everybody is out here with a dream, and we want to see our dreams come true, man. We got to stop hating on each other so much. It's not about color. Just appreciate one another, man. Let's spread more love. That's my message. We need to spread more love, man, because we were looking like, dang, no NBA season. What are we going to do? No NFL season. Dang, what are we going to do? People getting divorced, people struggling because there's not enough love in the world. You don't even realize you don't even love your significant other as much as you thought until you had to sit in the house with them. Now, see, I'm serious.
Yeah.
Me and my wife, we looking at all these different people like, dang, what's everybody struggling for? Like, why are y'all having such a hard time being around your own family? My family, we've been loving this time together. We've been all working out. Everybody losing weight. I'm losing weight. My wife losing weight. All my kids losing weight. We just finding a way to come closer as a family. Now everybody needs to do it as a people, man. We just need to come together, spread more love, man, and just enjoy life, because COVID took a lot of people out, man. A lot of unexpected deaths happen because of this. You know, it's just a lot of hate, and you never know what can happen in the world. So we just need to spread more love and make the most of every moment. And if you have any quarrels, any issues, any arguments, any beefs with anybody, man, squash them, because anything can happen. Just let's spread love.
Well said. What a unbelievable last 30 minutes, 25 minutes with Gerald McCoy. Thank you, man.
Yeah, absolutely, man. God bless you guys. I